The more that I learn about Jesus, the more I see his sharp edges different from the fluffy Sunday school portrait of him that hung on the wall of St. Luke's Methodist Church that I recall as a child. I remember learning, Jesus loves me and Jesus loves the little children of the world. And I know that these songs are true. But as I grow up in faith, I'm able to see the soft shepherd Jesus along with the antagonist Jesus and know that they are one and the same, giving all of us a deeper understanding of our lives in Christ. Today's reading is Jesus the agitator, sharpening his words to cut off those who are on the fence about his message. He's not trying to talk anyone into anything. In fact, this pericope today shows Jesus doing quite the opposite. He is using this culturally offensive language of eating flesh and drinking blood to not only shock followers into a new awareness, but he is using it to drive some away. And he does. As is Jesus' MO, he meets objections and questions by sharpening the point and raising the offensiveness of the message rather than softening it. The result is what one scholar calls a crisis in the text and revolves around a division between those who believe and those who do not. Unbelief, according to this account, is not just those people over there that aren't in the inner circle, but they're found, but unbelief is found on the inside too. This is the last of our bread discourses, and they have all been leading up to this final chapter of either you get it and you follow him, or you don't and you go home. We've discussed before how Jesus amassed this huge crowd, this huge following. And chapter 6 of John begins with the crowd of over 5,000 hungry people that are fed, and then they're interested enough to follow him across the lake. Quickly, however, many become disenchanted and complainy. Even of Jesus' real followers who have stuck around for the duration of the bread sermon, when push comes to shove, some just can't handle it. The hearers of Jesus' message have two choices, to bail or to abide. Now, bailing is easy. It's just packing up and going home without having to wrestle with the reality of eating flesh and drinking blood and eternal life or facing the cross. Abiding, well, that's a little more complicated. That means coming to believe and knowing. Peter answers for his immediate group that they're sticking around because they know that Jesus is the only one who can give genuine life. It's interesting that here Peter uses the Greek verbs for believe and know that indicate action completed in the past that has a continuing effect in the present. That's the kind of believing and knowing that Jesus is looking for. Peter's recognition of Jesus for who he is, and ours too, be it the Son of Man, the Holy One of God, the Word made flesh, etc., requires both belief and knowledge. One without the other is useless. Later on, we'll see Peter bumble around and make some mistakes, but he knows the truth about Jesus, and that knowledge is why he and his faithful friends choose to abide with Jesus. Sadly, at the end of chapter 6 in John, only 12 will remain, and one of them is going to turn on Jesus before the work is done. So, all of us here have chosen to be at St. Timothy's today, Something has compelled us to be here, to wake up on a perfectly good Sunday, to take showers, to get dressed, to bypass a day in jammies, drinking coffee, reading the New York Times, whatever your ritual of relaxation is. And perhaps we've done so because we want to abide in Jesus. But what does that mean, abide in Jesus? To abide means to comply with, obey, observe, follow, keep to, hold to, conform to, adhere to, stand by, act in accordance with, uphold, heed, accept, go along with, acknowledge, respect, or defer to. In verse 56, Jesus says, "Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me and I in them," hinting to us that abiding is not a one-way street of us just obeying. Of the definitions that I just reeled off, the one to me that I think Jesus is saying that really resonates with me is to stick to. It seems that Jesus is saying that communion in him is us sticking to him, and therefore he'll stick to us, or the other way around. He'll stick to us and we'll stick to him. The good news about a relationship with the Holy One, the bread of life, the Lamb of God, the Word made flesh, is that when we bumble around and make mistakes, Jesus is steady, unflappable, predictable, and ready for us. The hymn that we just sang, "Abide with Me," is an old Victorian poem written by an Anglican priest named Henry Light, and he wrote it in 1847 while he was suffering from tuberculosis. It's a prayer for God to remain present throughout life, throughout trials, throughout death, and through all the chaos that humanity can throw at us. If you're a big English soccer fan, you may know that it is the tradition since 1927 to sing the song at the beginning of every FA Cup final. Soccer fans and historians say that this 91-year-old tradition still thrives because even in the face of intense team rivalry, thousands and thousands of fans love the deep connection they feel when they sing this hymn, even with their intense rivals. I saw an interview with an older, teary-eyed fan who said that the words make him feel like he's a boy in church and connected to God and to every person in Wembley Stadium when they sing together these words, "When other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless, oh, abide with me. Change and decay in all around I see. Oh, thou who changest not, abide with me." Sticking together, abiding in Christ, abiding in us, is the act of receiving, believing, and trusting all that God is for us in Christ. Believing is receiving of Christ into the soul, welcoming him, trusting him, as it were, drinking and eating and savoring him. This is what he says earlier in John. Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." Abiding, then, is circular. It's believing and receiving and loving and trusting and tasting and seeing and savoring and healing and receiving. And this, as we've been promised through Christ, is forever. The work of the church, the work of our Christian lives, like abiding in Jesus, is also circular. We are called to communion, to receive the Eucharist, and to be in relationship with each other. Coming to the table is at the same time ascending out into the world. Our natural inclinations may be to just go home like many of the followers of Jesus did, to avoid the difficult call, and above all, to avoid the difficulty of the cross. But the response of Jesus' trusted friend, Peter, that stubborn, brash, flawed hero, at the end of our gospel today, is a remarkable bit of encouragement to our stubborn, brash, flawed selves. You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. By him and with him and in him, we abide when we believe, receive, love, taste, see, savor, heal, and receive. Amen.